It's 2012. It is January 1st. And traditionally, following the advice of my preaching professor in college, I have preached stewardship every month. Or, not every month, every year, the month of January. And this year is no different. Yet, when I looked and was trying to set up my preaching schedule, where what I would be preaching, this, I mean, the text of Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, just called, I mean, just perfect timing this year, based upon Christmas Day being on Sunday, and then here we're talking, you know, 8 days later. This is the day. I'm like, well, how? I really want to preach this, but I want to do stewardship, which I'm supposed to be doing too. And then as I looked at this, I'm going, but this is stewardship. It's right here. It's right in my face. Why didn't I see it before? Well, sometimes we don't see things well because we're not looking for it. But it's important. There's an important thing about Scripture that we need to understand and that I need to tell you to watch for. We need to take God's word from Scripture, not attempt to place what we want, the theology or doctrine we want, into Scripture. We need to pull it out of there. So it is incumbent upon you as the congregation to make sure that that's what I do when I preach. So what I'm going to do this month is something that's going to cause you to have to work a little bit harder, because I'm actually going to go to passages which are not traditionally labeled the stewardship passages. It's not the ones where you look at and say, oh, yeah, that's all about stewardship. Not doing that. Nope. Because I'll guarantee you, stewardship wasn't the first thing that jumped to your mind when you read the story that we're going to look at this morning. But we're going to see, and we should see, the stewardship there. And if it's not there, I need for you to stand up to me and say, Pastor, I'm not seeing it. You know, I best make my case well, and it better be clear, and it best not require any kind of twisting of the Scripture to do so. With that said, we're going to look at the stewardship of the birth of Christ. Let's look at our text this morning. As Jesus is presented at the temple in chapter 2 of verse 21 and following of the Gospel of Luke. If you have your Bibles, turn with me and be there. Otherwise, it will be on the screen. It's probably already up there now, yeah. Okay. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign God, as you promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have promised in the sight of all people, what you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to be a cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you did indeed come to this earth as a child, be born on Christmas morning, that you might die for us on Good Friday and be raised on Easter morning. Lord, we thank you for this, this gift of salvation, this restoration and reconciliation that you provided for us. But Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we seek new insight. We seek new understanding. We seek to know you more, to better walk in your ways and your truth, and to better serve you, and to be a light to those in darkness, an encouragement to those who know and love you. Father, I pray now that your anointing would be upon me as I preach, that you would speak through me, and that the people here would be encouraged and blessed, and most of all, Lord, that you would be the one lifted up and glorified. Father, we come to worship you and to serve you in all ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this passage definitely points out the lordship. If we look in chapter 2, we see that the word Lord is used 11 times, and just in the section that we read, 7 times. 7 times Lord is referred to. It's referred to God the Father as Lord, as he's talking about sending Jesus. And Jesus is referred to as the Lord, as he's also referred to as the Lord's Messiah. The baby. So we definitely see the lordship here, and we see the whole Christmas theme and all this here, but where's the stewardship that you're talking about, Pastor, that you said is here? And it's what we start off with. On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, and the name the angel had given him before he was born. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Why did they do this? Basically, because it was what was required in the law. We see in verse 26, to do for him what the custom of the law required. To do for him what the custom of the law required. That's verse 27. Now, what did they do? They took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord as the firstborn, and by doing this, what they're doing is recognizing the lordship of Christ, lordship of God, the who is in charge. Now, one of the big problems we have with the whole concept of stewardship is understanding the concept of lordship. If God is our Lord, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he's the guy who tells us what to do from 9 to 5. He's the guy who doesn't just tell us what to do 24/7, but actually owns us. He's the one who created us. All that we have and is his. All that we are and will be is his. And new parents in Israel were required to take their firstborn son to the temple and dedicate them to God and then redeem them back for use in the family through an offering of just a couple doves or a couple pigeons. People, this is stewardship. This is putting God first. That's all stewardship is. When we boil it all down, it's recognizing that God is the one in charge, and stewardship is just doing what He wants us to do with that which He has given into our care. Well, we know Jesus was not and is not the physical, biological son of Joseph. Yet Joseph took him to the temple. That's stewardship. He was given into his care. And he had to do what was right, what was required by the law, what God wanted done. Why does God tell us to do that? We can come up with all sorts of reasons, but the reason that I think that is primary is to help us remember that He's the one in charge. God doesn't need to be reminded of that. The whole process is to help us to walk straight and to follow Him. The whole process is about us remembering to put God first in all things, everything. Now that, people, is hard. Sometimes it's a lot easier to stay home and watch TV than go out and do what it is God told you to do. Pastor John was talking about, you know, if you've got a name or a person's face coming to your mind and you're going, some people think in images, some people don't, you know, so whichever one works for you. But God brings that up to you, you know, you get that name or you get that picture of that person or thought, and you go, well, that's strange that I'm getting that. Pastor John said, well, that's God prompting you to pray for them in some way. He's right. But sometimes it's easier to just keep watching the TV show or keep doing what you're doing instead of stopping what it is that you're doing to do what it is that God is saying, this is what I want you to do right now. What we see here is a young couple taking the child, which is put in their care, and doing something which isn't necessarily easy. Now, how many of you women would just look forward to the idea of going on a 20-mile hike, you know, a week after giving birth? Anybody here saying, yippee? Going, no, that's not on my to-do list. But, you know, but it's a roughly that distance from Bethlehem to the temple. Because it's, you know, it's shorter if you go straight as the crow flies. But I was blessed to go to Israel here a year and a half ago. And, you know, what I found there is that you don't go straight as the crow flies. You go up and down. And it's getting up and a lot of up and down. So not only did you have to go down the hill, but then you got to go up the hill. And then you got to... And it's nice, rocky terrain. And they're in a lot of cool, shady places to rest along the way either. It's just open and dirty and dusty and not very convenient yet. They made the trip. This is what was required. What we're seeing is that they didn't do it because they wanted to, though they may have. It wasn't done because Jesus was special. He was. They weren't given a dispensation not to do it because Jesus was special. Again, he was and is. Okay? They were told to do this, and this is one of those things which all the people of Israel were told to do. Dedicate your firstborn to the Lord. And you were supposed to get them to the temple just as quickly as you could after your time of purification was over. Now, they understood, you know, that things couldn't always happen that quickly, especially for those who were living far away. Now, if they'd been living in Nazareth, they wouldn't have been expected to make that trip right then. However, they happened to be just over in Bethlehem, less than 20 miles away. And Nazareth is on the way from Jerusalem is on the way to Nazareth as you leave Bethlehem. As they had been in Bethlehem for their census taking and the birth of Jesus. Okay, I'm doing good here this morning. This is required, and they did it. What we're going to be looking at as we work our way through these various passages of Scripture is, what is it that God requires of us, in specific and in general? Mostly general is under the heading. Stewardship generally falls under the heading of what is required of everybody. Some of us receive individual messages from God. Sometimes we may refer to it as a call to ministry or to a particular mission or something like this. And our stewardship requires us to be obedient to those things. But as a general purpose, that's not for everybody. But the Great Commission, that's everybody. Giving of tithes and offerings, that's everybody. Worshiping God, gathering to worship, that's everybody. So we're going to be looking at this over the next four more Sundays that we have through the month of January. But we're going to be looking for places other than what you've traditionally looked at. I mean, normally, you know, we always want to pull out Malachi chapter 3 and we're going to say, give them your tithe. How much is a tithe? Well, it's 10%, you know, okay. We're not going to be looking there. We're going to be looking elsewhere. Okay? And we're going to see that God is telling us to do and why he's telling us to do it. What we see here is that there is not an exception made even for Jesus being the very Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord himself, yet still in the form of a baby. Exception was not made for him to be dedicated to God. Why? Because his parents needed to dedicate him. Donna and I dedicated our children to the Lord. And that's not been an easy thing sometimes. Because the Lord might take them someplace or might take us somewhere, and we have to trust that he's the one doing it. When Mary and Joseph were there, they had Simeon and Anna come up with messages that weren't easy. This is the Savior of the world. And by the way, Mom, your heart's going to be pierced like a sword. Oh, great. Every mom loves to hear that. We have two witnesses here who were both touched by the Holy Spirit, who testified to him being the Savior in the temple. Yet the sacrifice was still made. The dedication was still made. Because it was the parents there who were, Mary and Joseph, who were being obedient, good stewards, and taking Jesus, whom God had given into their care, and say, no, really, we understand that you're the one who's really in charge. Our child is not our child. Our child is your child. And it follows that our lives are not our lives, but our lives are his lives. This is the depth and the truth and the important point of stewardship. If you get nothing else, so we're God's, and he wants us to do certain things. And that's what stewardship is. Doing what it is that he has asked us to do. And it's not ask with a small letter, lowercase ask, with a pretty please next to it. This is ask, all uppercase, large font, with command in it. We have a choice. We can either submit and do what our Lord has commanded, or we cannot. We can either be good stewards or bad. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we give you praise. We thank you that you indeed are our Lord, our Savior, our God. We thank you that stewardship really isn't that hard, and that it's part of everyday activity. It's just keeping you first in all things and doing what it is that you have asked us to do. Lord, help us to see that, know that, and to live that. Always. Now, Lord, open our eyes to your will and your purposes, that we might better submit ourselves to you and do all that is required of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's think.